Morning. When I was reviewing the sermon from last week, I guess whoever was preaching managed to go over 30 minutes. And I know with today being Mother's Day and some folks have plans and such, I'm going to not be that guy, and I'm going to try to keep it a little shorter than what happened last week. And I was thinking this week, since I'm trying to stay within Ephesians and Philippians, because that's what we're reading for this month, what in the world am I going to preach about for Mother's Day or on Mother's Day? So I decided to go to chapter 5, starting at verse 21. And some of you will be familiar with this passage, and some won't be, and many will look at it and probably say, I don't recall hearing too many sermons on this. And then again on Mother's Day, maybe I'm biting off more than I can chew, maybe not. I don't know. But I think that, to be honest, it's the section that my Bible calls Instructions for Christian Households. Some people don't like this section. I'm going to say that the reason why some people struggle with this section of Scripture and the implementation of it is because we have not really been taught what the fullness of this passage is about. A lot of times, ideas from this passage have been extracted out of the text in kind of a proof-texted way, or in a way that is given to us apart from the bigger context. And my point is going to be that a marriage is at its best when the spouses in that marriage follow God's order for the household in discipleship. Because this passage is not about what husbands and wives are supposed to do for the other spouse, but it's about how husbands and wives are to be obedient to God in the specific context of their household relationships. So it's a passage about discipleship. See, Paul doesn't suddenly decide that, as he's been, Paul read a great section for us this morning out of Ephesians chapter 2. It's a very doctrinally rich book. When you read Ephesians, there's a lot of very deep teaching about Christ, about God's plan for the world, God's plan for the church, about prayer, about the church, about Jesus. And then Paul doesn't suddenly say, I'm going to stop all of this very deep, theologically rich material and just slap down a few instructions about what husbands and wives are to do. If we understand this passage correctly within the structure of the entire book, what Paul is doing once he gets through the doctrinal teaching in chapters 1 and 2 is he's teaching about how we grow as disciples and followers of Jesus in many different stations of life. And so naturally he comes to the household as part of that, because that's a context that every single one of us lives within in one way or another. And so he addresses that. And the teaching is really about how we grow as disciples in the context of our household. But I'm going to limit that this morning for the sake of time to our marriages, to those of us who are married, and what that looks like for this. So I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 21, through the end of the chapter in verse 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's pray. Father, thank you for leaving us your word that we can read and reflect on and learn from and apply to our lives. And this morning, Father, I would ask that you would help us to to take some time here over the next 20 minutes or so and to think about our own lives, to think about our growth as disciples, to think about our growth as followers of Jesus, and to ask ourselves, Father, simple questions about are we really giving it our all? Are we really giving you gratitude for the great gift that Jesus gave to us when he sacrificed himself for our sins? Do we live our lives reflecting on the good things that you give to us and all that you've done for us? And are we really seeking to grow and to live in a way that reflects your glory back? We thank you, God, for Jesus, for his example, and even in this passage as we read that that marriage relationships are a type of the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. We pray, God, that that relationship would be the way that we move forward thinking about our relationships, not only in our marriages, but even as verse 21 said, in our relationships with one another. Help us, God, always to be reminded of and thankful for the obedience and humility that Jesus demonstrated when he very willingly followed your plan to its completion, when he died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And as Paul talks about earlier in the letter, in this letter, all barriers could be removed between us and you. Now, Father, we have peace with you, and it's because of Jesus. And we offer this prayer in his powerful name. Amen. So this passage, as I've said, I think when we read it today, we tend to struggle with it. And there's a couple reasons for that. I think the first one is culture. Culture, our culture today especially, doesn't like to talk about the idea of submission and what that means, especially when it comes to the notion of a woman submitting to a man is not something that in our culture we like to spend a lot of time talking about. And so because this passage uses strong words like that, and probably, to be quite honest, even in Christian churches, passages like this have not been taught correctly, and both sides of the situation have not been discussed fairly. In a lot of places, the idea of a woman submitting to her husband gets a lot of attention, but when it comes to the other side of what it means for a husband to love his wife, that doesn't get as much attention. And so the teaching of this passage in different places has been abused. And so culturally, we don't like talking about it because it brings ideas and concepts up that we're not sure we agree with, we're not sure we like, we're not sure how we implement it, so maybe we'll just leave it aside for another time. But in other cases, reasons we don't like talking about this, and I'll just throw it out like this, is it's an issue of disobedience. We hear the word of God and we just decide we don't want to follow through with it because it's too demanding, or we don't like what it says, or we don't today agree with it. And you could read any number of books, even written by Christians, that would say there's no way this means what Paul actually wrote. There's no way that we can apply this today the way that Paul meant it to be applied. It was strictly for an ancient culture that no longer exists today, and so this part of the text has no meaning for us. And when we take that approach and we try to explain away what the Word of God says to us, we're creeping dangerously up on actually being disobedient to the Word, if not outrightly so. Because we're looking at what the Word says and we're finding a way to disregard that and move past it. And I want to say this about this passage in particular, in its counterparts in Colossians chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 3. This passage, even though for us today, maybe it's a little bit controversial when it's proof texted or interpreted apart from its context, but in its context, it's not controversial because it's simply about household discipleship. It's about how we grow as Christians in our households. And I'm going to point this out a number of times as I go throughout this sermon because I want us to be crystal clear when we look at these two commands. The first command to wives to submit to their husbands, and the second command to husbands to be loving towards their wives. These are not commands that are issued without some kind of doctrinal basis behind them. We have to see that first and foremost. So Paul says in verse 22, let me start with what Paul does not say in verse 22. wives submit to your own husbands, period. That's not what he says. That's a fragment of what he says. And then likewise, when we come to verse 25, Paul does not simply write, husbands, love your wives, period. Again, that's a fragment of what he writes. So what's the full sentence? What's the full context of what Paul writes in verses 22 and 25? I hope you have a Bible open so that you can refer back to these yourself and see what it says. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And then in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then he even goes on from there. So the first thing that we need to keep in mind when we look at this passage and we think about what it means for us today, how we understand it and apply it and implement it in our lives and especially in our marriages, is that behavior within the household is always tied first to our obedience to the Lord. Paul's teaching us how to be obedient to the Lord. He's not saying, wives, just do this because that's what the ancient world looks for. And husbands, be like this because that's going to be best for you. And, you know, popular marriage books are going to say, focus on meeting each other's needs and so on. But Paul is writing to tell them, in your situation, in your marriage, this is how you practice obedience. And so these teachings, first and foremost, are about our obedience to God. And when we think about it in the context of household discipleship, I think this is where we're going to run up against some challenges again, because probably, if you're like most people, it's the relationships within your own household that are, or can tend to be at least, the most difficult for you. How many, I'll speak to the men here, how many of us can be patient all day long with anybody else and any kind of stupidity that they bring to us, but the minute we walk through the door, all patience is gone? I guess it's just me. You get the point. Because, see, discipleship, when we think about discipleship by ourselves, and we think about Bible reading, prayer, going to worship, we like those things. Those are easy enough to do. That's all about me and what I do. I pick up my Bible and read it. I find time to be by myself, to pray to God. I attend worship. Easy enough. Discipleship with others, maybe not as easy, but not a problem. So when I look to find people that I can serve, people that I can try to work in evangelism with by sharing the Bible with them, things I've been talking about the last several weeks, again, not easy, but still, yeah, that's something I can do. But now when we think about discipleship at home, now it gets real, because that means that we have to be on point at home. See, it's easy enough for me to think about, I can carve out 30 minutes a day to read my Bible and pray, and I can attend a worship services on Sunday, and then I can make sure I attend the service project at church to engage in some service to people, or I can take a lunch hour to meet with a coworker and try to talk about religion with him or her and maybe read the Bible together. But now when I think about when I go home at night and I'm around my wife and my kids for several hours, and I've got to be thinking about what it means to be loving at home, to not be provoking my children, and I've got to think about being on point for those hours, because when I'm at home, I'm not just at home to relax before I go back to work the next day, but I'm at home trying to model obedience to God in front of my family. Now it gets real. Now it's hard because it takes time and it's challenging. That's when I like to close my Bible on this passage and say, maybe Paul didn't really mean what he actually wrote. Right? How many of us struggle with that? It's easy to be a Christian until we get home. Or maybe for some of you wives who get to spend more time at home, it's easy to be a Christian mom and even a Christian husband at home until your husband comes home. Right? Because now, I'm serious. Because now we're trying to struggle with what it means to live out the gospel in our own households. It's when we're surrounded by the people that we're closest to that we are really challenged to represent these gospel ideals most fully. So now if we look specifically at what Paul is teaching in this passage about husbands and wives, And by the way, note that the passage actually goes on through chapter 6, verse 9. I'm stopping at the end of chapter 5 because I'm trying, as kind of for time, but for logistical reasons too. I'm addressing just the marriage relationships this morning. But if we look at what discipleship in the household looks like, please note that none of the instructions that Paul gives in this passage are conditional. Okay, because sometimes we read this passage and this is how we interpret it. Wives, submit to your husbands when they are loving towards you. Or husbands, love your wives when they are operating out of submission towards you. But that is not, those kinds of conditions are not in the text. That is not what the text says. And in fact, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 indicates that wives should be submissive even towards non-Christian husbands. There's no conditions here. That's why I said this is about our obedience. It's not even about who's right and who's wrong. And please understand that when we're talking about this morning, I'm primarily talking about marriage relationships where folks are actually trying to be Christians and learn this and do their best. We could come up with 100 exceptions for why this isn't going to work or why my relationship is different and so on. I want to put those aside for now and just say that when we're trying to focus on living as a Christian in our marriage and we're trying to make it work, that's what I'm talking about this morning. But none of these are conditional. See, when we look at, I'm only going to love my wife if I think she's acting submissively towards me like the Bible says, or I'm only going to be submissive towards my husband if he demonstrates his worthiness by how I think he loves me. See, when we're focused on getting our needs met only when somebody else does the right things for us, we're finding our validation in what our spouse is doing for us, not from God by being obedient towards him. And that's ultimately what Paul is teaching here, that we're validated by God when we do what he wants, when we live towards our spouse by obedience according to the terms that God has given to us. That's why I've said that this passage is about obedience within marriage relationships. It's not about me pointing a finger at my wife or her pointing a finger at me about you didn't do this, the Bible said that. I need to measure myself against what Paul writes towards husbands and make sure that I'm living in a loving way like Christ did. Christ is the model. And then she needs to look at herself and ask, is she living obediently the way Paul has described, which is based on her submission to Christ. See, it all of these commands, all of these directives go back to the relationship that we have with Christ first. That's the example. That's the model. And so when Paul, he talks first to wives, so that's where I'll start. And as I've already pointed out, verse 22, he doesn't just say, wives, submit to your husbands, and then end the sentence there. He says, wives, submit to your husbands like you already do to the Lord. Like you already do to the Lord. That's how submission is understood. Submission is not understood because I go home today and make a list of these are the things you have to do to be in submission to me. That's not the biblical way. What does submission look like? It looks like the relationship that you already have with Christ. It derives from submission to the Lord. Paul's already said that in verse 22. That's the foundation. Submission to the Lord first. It's based on a God-ordained household structure. See, again, Paul's not writing in a vacuum. He's not writing only in accordance with what the ancient world thought about these things. In verses 23 through 24, Paul gives a reason why wives are to submit. And the reason is, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So there's a spiritual organization to the household. And lest anyone become confused about, well, this is just it's a structural hierarchy. So Christ is in charge. Okay, good. That means I get to be in charge at my household because Christ is in charge. When we go on and continue on in the passage, we see that Christ's leadership of his church took the form of sacrificial love on behalf of another. That's the kind of leadership that Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about anybody getting gung-ho and thinking that, well, I'm the head of my wife, so I'm going to go home and lay down the law. That's not what he's talking about. Not at all. He's talking about the kind of example that he spells out in verses 25 following that shows the kind of love, the kind of headship that Christ has over his church is a sacrificial way first, a benevolent love that takes the form of serving somebody else for their benefit. And then finally, he says to wives about their submission in verse 24, he says it should be total. It should be complete. He says submit in everything. There's not a whole lot more to say about that, except I just want to remind us again, especially the wives here, since this is what's being talked about, when you submit, you are obeying God directly. That's the bottom line. I'm not standing up here today trying to reinforce negative stereotypes, but to say that we need the way to look past these stereotypes that have crept into the understanding of this passage today is to realize that Paul is teaching submission based on the relationship that one already has with Christ, and that ultimately what that means is that when you engage in that submission, you are obeying God. And this is about your discipleship and your obedience, not about your husband. And I'll say the same thing when it comes to husbands now, beginning in verse 25. We are called to love our wives unconditionally, without condition, without saying when she gets her house in order first, then I'll come along. Because likewise, our love for our wives is about our obedience to God. It's about our discipleship and growth in the Lord. It's not about our wives. It's about us learning how to grow closer to God by simply doing what he says. And so the kind of love that Paul advocates, again, in verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's a sacrificial love that puts her needs first and seeks to be benevolent in incorporating her needs and leading and making decisions for her. Paul spells that out again in verses 26 and 27. He doesn't just say that Christ loved us, loved the church, and gave himself up for the church. He goes on to talk about a purpose for that, to make her holy. He's talking about Christ and the church, but we can understand husbands and wives here because later on he says in verse 32, even though he's talking about husbands and wives, he's also talking about Christ and the church. He's going back and forth between the two, but he says to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle and or blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, love our wives. We love our wives with a purpose of helping her grow spiritually, which is a pretty significant task when you think about, are we really invested in that endeavor? Or do we think it's just enough for us to bring our wives to church when we can be bothered to show up? To ask her, hey, have you read your Bible, even though ours has been on shelf all week? But Paul says, are you loving your wife with a purpose of helping her to grow spiritually? And then in verse 28, do you love your wife as you love yourself? See, in verse 28, he says, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So we could say, if you don't love your wife, you don't even love yourself. But if you love yourself, you will love your wife. And this is pretty deep, pretty complex. So I've been trying to spell out from Scripture here what discipleship in the household looks like, trying to explain what Paul says. And then I was thinking about what doesn't it look like practically? I mean, theologically, I've tried to spell out some ideas here. And then I want to spell out for us some practical ways of what it looks like. But I want to start by saying what it doesn't look like. And I guess I'm going to start with the husbands here, just to try to flip the order a little bit. Husbands, what doesn't this look like? What when you think about what it means to love your wives as Christ loved the church, what doesn't it look like? When you go home at night or on the weekend, are you cold and dispassionate at home? Do you come in from work, drop your stuff at the door, go off into some side room or the basement somewhere, wait till dinner's called, come up, eat, go off and do your own thing, ignoring everyone, maybe spend 10 minutes at the end of the night in conversation? Are you cold and dispassionate at home? Are you authoritative and demanding about things? Is your situation something where it has to be your way or you're just going to be angry and off the hook the rest of the night? Are you lazy and unproductive at home? Are things falling apart around the house? Is your wife afraid to use certain things around the house because she's afraid they're going to self-destruct in her hands? Does the yard go unmowed for weeks? Are you not looking out for the concerns and needs of your wife because you're too self-consumed with your own things? And then wives, what does this not look like? Are you disrespectful towards your husband in public? When you're out together in public, do you have to have the last word? When somebody makes a joke about the husband being the man of the house, are you the type that has to make a side joke afterwards with a sideways look, questioning whether or not he's really the one who's in charge that undermines him in public in front of other people? Do you assert yourself over him in public in front of others? Are you unsupportive and argumentative at home, nagging and unappreciative about the things that he does do? All of these things on both sides, again, I'm not even saying that when this happens, it creates conflict with the other spouse. But when we engage in these kinds of unproductive activities, we're not being obedient to God because we're not living the way that God has called us to live in our marriages, in our households. So what should we do? The first thing that we should do is remember, as we try to grow, as we try to become either more submissive or more loving, is to remember that both spouses need room to grow. And we shouldn't expect too much too quickly from our other spouse, especially when we recognize that we're struggling to grow at the same time, and especially if these standards are not the norm in the household already. Don't expect too much too quickly. Remember that we're all growing. We're all a work in progress, if you will. And then secondly, remember, again, that these things are about obedience to God. They're not about your feelings towards your spouse or your feelings about your spouse. You are doing these things out of your obedience to God. And so when we look back to where Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands in everything, what might this look like? And again, I would ask, are you critical about your husband at home? Can he do nothing right at home? Do you tend towards nagging to get your way on things? Is getting your way the most important thing? Do you give your husband space to lead? Are you willing to let him lead? Are you willing to follow his leadership? Are you supportive of him even when he makes mistakes, especially if he's making that mistake as he tries to grow in love and leadership? Husbands, what does it look like when we think about what it means to love benevolently as Christ loved the church? Christ is the model. Husbands, do you take responsibility for your wife's spiritual growth? Not that you can force it, but are you doing what you can to enable it? Do you think about and plan how to love your wife and lead her? Is her well-being and best interests at the center of your thinking about her? Are you taking care of yourself and ensuring that your wife does the same? Are you leading her and your kids spiritually? Is your lifestyle at home centered around the Bible, prayer, worship, and service? These are some high ideals, but these are the kinds of relationships that we're called to develop and grow into in the gospel. Paul wouldn't write about these things if this wasn't the plan that God wanted. We can read story upon story of neighbors, co-workers, friends, and even family who were converted because they saw the love of God present in a Christian household. It's not enough for us to just to show up at church, to do these individual things, to think about sharing the Bible with another person, if we're not living the reality of these truths in our households. And again, it's not about me trying to force one way upon my wife and her trying to force another way upon me. It's not about me trying to do something for her only if she does something for me first. It's about how am I growing as a follower of Jesus. And in chapter 3, Paul talks a lot about prayer. But in chapter 4, he talks about in the church, how are we growing as followers of Jesus. But then he makes the shift in chapter 5 to talking about our individual lives. And that naturally includes how we live at home. And so when you think about this morning, don't leave thinking, well, you know, he said, wives, submit to your husbands, and I just can't bring myself to do that. Remember that the text says, submit to your husbands as you submit to the Lord. And remember that when you think about what it means to be submissive towards your husband, that you're simply following God in obedience. And husbands, don't leave and say, well, my wife just isn't a lovable person, and then disregard it. But think about how Paul calls us to the example of Jesus and says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and realize that part of your obedience and my obedience to God is to think sacrificially about how best to love my wife. And imagine how our households would be different if we brought all of our households under the direct obedience towards God. How your life would be different, how your spouse's life would be different, and how you might affect the lives of those around you by showing through your own marriage and your own household what a godly, loving, growing household is. And how through that ministry within your own household, you might shine the light of God into the darkness around you. And think about how you can continue growing in God. Let's stand and sing.